Right. Getting things off to a jumping start. That's called Straight No Chaser. It was a tune written by Thelonious Monk and performed here by a fantastic group, Miles Davis on trumpet, John Coltrane on tenor sax, Julian Cannonball Adderley on alto sax, Red Garland on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Philly Joe Jones on drums. This is truly a jazz classic. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And so what did you do with your turkeys? Glad to have you back. Glad to be with you. And picking up from where we left off on Wednesday. So it is Free Your Mind Friday. You know the drill. 888-874-4888 is the number to call and get some things off your chest. Let's hear what it is on your mind and what it is you think we need to know as well. Henry from Chicago, we start with you.
Hey, Eutrice, how's it going?
O okay, how's about you?
Oh, it's all right. My apologies. I haven't been calling in lately. I have been listening to the archives, but I haven't been listening to much of the live shows in recent weeks. So I know I've been kind of missing in action a little bit, but I'm here.
I'm
I'm
glad that
still
you're here.
here.
Glad you're here.
Listen, this week you were pertaining talking you touched on a topic about the Conference of Catholic Bishops that happened in Baltimore.
Yes.
And I wanted to comment on that because I am a Catholic, I'm still a practicing Catholic. But you know, also that came out of that conference too was their encyclical. Basically, the bishops write up something about, you know, what how they feel about a certain thing, and it was about racism. And I'm telling you, Trace, both of these situations that they wrote up, it just like turned
Why am I
my
laughing already?
stomach. It just turned my stomach when I hear these bishops talk. You know, this chatter about how they don't like this and how they don't like that, and do nothing
Absolutely
institutionally
nothing.
about it. And what's so interesting is, you know, I've been to theology school, and I was I took a class with a canonical lawyer, and you know, we were going over the structure of the Catholic Church as an institution, and you know, he was saying that it's not the Pope that runs the Catholic Church, but the cardinal, but the College of Cardinals that run it. And from my understanding, they're the reason why the Catholic Church is what it is now, because you know they're basically trying to protect their institution, and it's probably one of another reason why a lot of people are leaving the Catholic faith because of the fact that they can't rely on this institution. And going back to the encyclical they did on racism, Eutrice, it was 30 pages of nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing. They didn't even indict. I mean, they had a little line about the Catholic institution itself, you know, implying that, you know, they might have been racist in the past. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding
Back then, way back then, we had a little tinge of it, but that's all gone now.
Exactly. So you know, I'm sitting here like, and they, you know, like whenever I read anything on, you know, when somebody critically analyzes racism, all right, so I always look at two words if they use these words. I look at white supremacy and I look at white privilege. They had nothing in regards to white privilege or white supremacy. And then I was like, okay, this does me nothing and it tells me nothing. So, you know, and people still ask me, okay, so why am I Catholic? Why am I still practicing the Catholic faith? And it's the same reason probably why somebody like and I'm pretty sure you're familiar with this guy, Father Larry Lawrence. He wrote a book. He wrote a book a couple of years ago, Black Priest in White Church. And, you know, he had the same conflict within himself about, you know, being a priest in the Catholic Church. However, you know, it won't change how he feels about himself, even though, you know, as a priest, he tries to kind of serve the, you know, serve the people of the faith. So, you know, within my own sphere, you know, within my own sphere of, you know, practicing spirituality, you know, I grew up, you know, as a Catholic. But, you know, I adhere to the principles of it. But as far as the institution itself, I abhor it. And it's just like, you know, I tell people, don't ask me about the institution of the Catholic Church itself, because I don't have a lot of good things to say about it.
Well, you know, you and Reverend Larry and many millions of others inevitably will have to come face to face with the ultimate issue. And that is, do you stay or do you go? You can't have feelings so deep on the negative side, you know, looking at the contradictions of a faith that, you know, the word Catholic means what? Universal.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have feelings so deep about a faith that universally has been shown to have a deleterious effect on the populations that they cater to. And it is a dilemma for a lot of people. It was not a dilemma for me. I was raised as a Catholic. And at some point I said, I'm done. Gotta go.
And I don't blame you.
I said, I can't do this. Now, my mother, it was great grief to my mother. I was scared not of the Pope, and not of the bishops. I was scared of my mom.
I have the same dilemma with my mother, too.
So the thing is, you realize that in effect, the reason you have what is called a soul is that it ultimately is a guiding light, your constant flame of what is right. What is right. And it wouldn't lie to you. It wouldn't steer you wrong. And it wouldn't force you to adjust to these contradictions and accept things that are unacceptable. And you thank them, because of course there was some value to it, you know, the indoctrination, if you will. There was some merit to it. There were some good things that came out of it. But at some point you're going to have to cut and run. You're going to have to be clear that when a thing becomes so constantly contradictory to you, what you perceive as your soul, as the essence of you, then, I mean, it's not that you're going to be, you know, set on fire and burn in hell for all eternity. It is that you're growing up spiritually, and you are able to see things as they are. You are able to decide what conforms to your notion of this religion or any religion or your own religious practices and beliefs, and what does not. Those things that contradict everything that you want to believe because they are right and they're true, you have to separate those things from yourself, or separate yourself from those things.
Therese, it's the same conflict I have with being a person of color and being an American. And I think a lot of us who see what's going on have that same issue. And it's not as easy as just to you know, walk out of this land and go live somewhere else. But, you know, I think I compare my conflict with the Catholic Church, being a citizen here in the United States, and how I'm not treated as truly a citizen, but, you know, on my birth certificate, I'm an American. But I don't feel like I'm an American. So, you know, it's kind of like the same conflict to me.
Look, I mean, I was deeply, seriously Catholic. I mean, one of my cousins was an emissary of the Pope to Central and South America. That's how Catholic we were. But at
oh, wow.
And then he, this is interesting, he was sent there as an emissary of the Pope and said, I'm done. When he saw how Catholics were being treated, how they were forced to live, and the dichotomy between the utter poverty and the terror that they had to live with every day, and the luxury that priests were living in, he quit. He left the church completely. So it is not as difficult as we make it to be when something proves to be very different from what we are told it is or what we want it to be. We still have a duty to reconcile our consciences with what we are seeing and experiencing, which is the truth. That is the truth. The thing that you're experiencing and you're seeing, that is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
This church has been designed to survive. It's going to be the last thing standing when everything else is burned up. It's still going to be there. They meticulously designed it to survive apocalypse after apocalypse. So I would say, Henry, don't feel bad. You are coming into the fullness of your spiritual journey by looking and weighing things, and you see the dichotomy, and you feel now you have to navigate through it. All you have to do is to reconcile, and you'll know whether you're doing the right thing if you're comfortable making a decision consistent with your personal beliefs. The church instilled in you and in millions of others some basic good things, but we, as Catholics, we know very well the dichotomy, and we know that there's so much wrong, I mean, evil in it. And they keep trying to twist the minds and make us feel that it was, you know, it's okay. If you pray a lot, you get over a lot of stuff. But that's not the way it works.
Eutrice, I haven't even told you about my dealings with the Archdiocese of Chicago, and that's another episode.
Well, you know, I'm glad that you're sharing this, because what you're telling us is a story that many people are quietly wrestling with. There is a spiritual side of us, and many people are encouraged to deny it, and that's wrong, I think. So your spirituality is a weapon. It keeps you going.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you keep yourself centered. But you also are a political person, and political not in the sense of Republican or Democratic Party, but political in the sense of your relationship to the apparatus that governs us all. And you understand
mm-hmm.
it. And you'll go through a little bit more of this conflict within yourself, but then you'll inevitably make a decision. And if you can live with your decision, you've made the right one.
Well, okay. Well, you have a happy weekend.
Okay. Okay. But continue. I mean, don't fear the inevitability of it. Just continue to be guided by what you now have, which is a soul, a spirit. And that is as pure as anything else you can think of. The purity of it is what is going to guide you. And therefore, a decision made in the context of the purity of your soul will not lie to you. It will not deceive you. You would be making the right choice, the right decision.
Thank you much, Eutrice. I appreciate your words.
Yeah, Dominus Vobiscum.
I forgot to plant. Thank you.
You're supposed to say et cum spiritu tuo.
Oh yeah, since Vatican I, I don't know what's going on.
you too. All right. Thanks,
all right,
Henry. Good to hear from you. Thank you so much. Peter from New Jersey, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
That's good. I wanted to call in because I was a little upset. You said, free your mind Friday, tell you what's on your mind. I'm a little upset about the new colonial masters in Africa. And I want you to comment on it later. But China's making these ungodly and deals with Africa when Africa has all these resources. So instead of really helping them, they're more into predatory lending, which I'm really, really upset about. Well, the Europeans, they took what they wanted to take, and they gave nothing back. Not only did they take the African people, but they took their land too, which I think was very, very evil. Now, I think, this is my opinion, maybe you can give more insight on this. Gaddafi was trying to unite Africa. If he was still alive, would Africa be in the same situation now if we would have united? So I just want your thoughts on that, but that's what's on my mind.
Well,
Gaddafi was very...
I'm trying to deal with what it is you're saying. You're saying a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But could you zoom in and find a specific topic that illustrates the totality of what it is you say?
China's predatory lending.
China's predatory lending in Africa. Okay.
Predatory.
All right. And so, in your description, one would reasonably think that China is the villain here, correct?
Yes, to a certain extent.
Well, it can't be to a certain extent. If you say China and China's predatory lending in Africa, China is the villain.
Yes, they are.
Okay. Curiously, you leave out the other part of the equation. And what the other part of the equation is, China couldn't have a bit of success with its predatory lending if the African nations had their act together.
I agree with you 100%.
Well, that's the whole point. The question is, why is it that China or any other country, why is it that they would have the ability to tumble and catapult African nations into a state of economic distress? If the African nations had their act together, which was what you referenced Gaddafi, but even before Gaddafi, there's Kwame Nkrumah. I shared with the audience a tape of Kwame Nkrumah beseeching African leaders to understand the power that they have and to consolidate it and to become a united force in Africa. I pay that.
Mm-hmm.
So it is annoying, to say the least, that here we are. Africa is the biggest frontier for all these predatory nations. China is not singular in this respect. China is doing exactly what all the other predatory nations are doing.
Wow.
They're looking out for their interests, and they're going where they can establish a foothold. So could you see yourself recasting your opinion a bit? If you rework your thesis a little bit, what would it be? Is it about China's predatory relationship with Africa? Or is it Africa's continued unwillingness to forge and form a powerful network?
Well, that's on their own demise, in a sense, their leaders. Because we haven't had leaders that will really care about the African people to do something positive or to unite. The one I thought could have united everybody, they killed him purposely.
Who's that?
That was Gaddafi.
Coming back to Gaddafi. Gaddafi was the most recent exponent of the theory. He was the most recent. But I just mentioned to you, since the days of Kwame Nkrumah, when African nations were attaining their independence, that's what he was pushing for. He begged them, beseeched them. He had all kinds of talks that he gave to them to prepare as they become independent nations. It also meant that they become more vulnerable to these predators. And that's why he emphasized the coming together of African nations, pooling their resources, and dealing with the rest of the world in a different way. This was also Gaddafi's point. Gaddafi pushed for example, a common military, a common army. He pushed for a common economic organization, pushed for a common trade organization. So he was visionary, but he was not the first one.
I agree.
And we still have the problem today of people blaming China. Why would we blame China? This is the question I'm asking you. Why would you blame China? China is not the problem. China is behaving the way any other nation seeing an advantage would operate. And
well,
given encouragement to do it.
They're giving loans, which they know these African people can't pay back.
Not that they are doing it. I'm asking you to understand the flip side of the coin.
China
can't make people take loans. China can't make people borrow money.
Okay,
what is the problem
agree.
On the African side of the equation? That's where you need to look at. Any country looking for an advantage, they would do these things. They're marauders. They will seek to take advantage of any situation in which they will come out, really, really well on the other side. But you're blaming. I'm trying to get you to understand that it isn't China. Don't blame China. China's behaving like China. China's behaving like the United States, like any other country. Britain, any other country would behave this way.
Yeah, like France.
It is encouraged.
The colonial powers, which took everything and gave nothing back. But
why should they? Look, I don't mean to make light of this at all. If you understand what colonialism is, if you understand it, if you understand the principles of it, if you understand the psychology and philosophy of it, you would see how perfectly synchronized the behavior of colonial countries is with what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Paul Moussant said, "I was serving the wine before it's time." Back then, the African leaders weren't ready. Perfect when I had the time of an idea's come. I mean, back then when they first started that concept, you know what they did was just getting their independence. They wanted to see what they could do themselves. But now, at this time, is no excuse.
Well, there apparently is an excuse because they have not been forced to reconsider their position. They have not been forced to adopt far more, beneficial terms in all of their agreements. There's nothing there. There's no pivotal person that is serving as a lightning rod to call the nations together again to examine ways in which they can undo these awful habits and indicate to them just what you said. The time not only is now, but the time has passed almost, that if they mm-hmm. don't do something quickly, soon, they will all perish. They will all fall victim to predation. Thanks a lot for calling in, Peter. Enjoyed your talk today.
Thank you very much.
Berkeley, you're on the air.
Hello, wonderful Yatrice.
Hey, Harvey. Wonderful Harvey. What's going on?
Well, I just want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving and also happy Thanksgiving to the PRN family.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And today I want to share some thoughts about the magic of 3D fractals. And in 1975, a mathematician named Benoit Mandelbrot discovered a very simple mathematical equation called a fractal. It turns out that fractals seem to be the underlying blueprint for almost everything that exists in nature. Fractal patterns are extremely familiar to us, the way trees grow, the way rivers flow, the way clouds form, as well as the shape and structure of seashells, snowflakes, coastlines, mountains, crystal growth, and galaxy formation are all fractal in nature. And it turns out that fractal mathematics and geometry are prevalent in African art, games, music, divination, trade, and architecture. And some of the most eye-pleasing fractals are called 3D fractals. And I would like to tell you and your vast audience where to find 3D fractal art and animation. And all you have to do is go to a YouTube website and type in 3D fractals, which is the number 3, followed by a capital letter D, and then the word fractals, which is spelled F-R-A-C-T-A-L-S. That's F-R-A-C-T-A-L-S. Into the YouTube search box located on the top of the YouTube webpage, and then click on the magnifying glass search icon, and a whole bunch of 3D fractal videos will come up. And because 3D fractals work with just about any music, I usually prefer to select my own music to watch the 3D fractal videos. So what I do is I click on the video's soundtrack off. I click the video soundtrack button off, and it looks like a speaker icon on the lower left-hand corner of the YouTube screen. And then I open up another YouTube webpage and enter the name of one of my favorite musicians like John Coltrane, Thelonious Monk, the Modern Jazz Quartet, Olatunji, or Brazilian Samba music, or any music that I love to listen to while watching the 3D fractal. And after selecting the music, I come back to the 3D fractal YouTube page and watch the 3D fractal with my own choice of music. And 3D fractals are totally magical, so the next time you want to take a timeout break, I suggest 3D Fractal, a 3D Fractal break. It sure works for me. And if you missed any of the instructions that that I mentioned, you could hear them again on the Utrecht Leeds archive show. And I just want to tell everybody to enjoy it. I hope you enjoy the 3D Fractals. And thank you, Utrecht. Thanks very much.
So, Harvey, watching something in 3D Fractal mode, does it change? Is the visual itself different to the eye?
It's magical. What it is it's basically an ever-changing pattern that is infinite, if you can imagine that. And each fractal is different. Each 3D fractal is different. They're a magical trip into another dimension. And the reason they call them 3D is even though it's on a 2D, two-dimensional screen, that our screens, our computer screens, as it moves, it becomes three-dimensional. It's just unbelievable. It's one of the most wonderful things that if I feel like relaxing, if I'm tense, or if I just need to go into a state of meditation, I just put on a 3D fractal, like I say, on one YouTube, and then I click off the sound, and I open up another website, and I choose the music I want, so I have the music, and then I go back to the original 3D fractal website, and I just watch them, and they go on, and they take you into a very special place that I think is just fantastic, and I really recommend it to everybody. I almost think of a fractal as like the face of God. It has that kind of feeling to it. It's like you're tapping into the creation of the universe that plays out in everything we do. Even our own system, like the veins in our lungs, are fractal in nature. So we are fractal, nature is fractal, and the universe is fractal. So this is connection at the highest level.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that? Okay, Harvey, thank you so much for calling in with that. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Oh, Utrecht, how are you doing?
Okay, Jay, how about you?
Good. Listen, quick thing. Tuesday, I was thinking about you. I was having a good bowl of lentil soup, and you popped into my mind. You know, it is funny. Every time I have lentil soup, I always think about you because of that good recipe that you gave a couple of years ago that I still follow basically today.
Well, that's great. But I'm worried that you would think of me only one day when you're having lentil soup.
No. I think about a good sister like you every time I hear you on the radio. But that you just popped into my mind when I was sitting down enjoying the soup. Because, you know, that's my favorite soup, lentil soup. It's nothing like it. You got to try putting some pickled jalapenos in it one day, Utrecht. You're going to love it. But what I was basically calling about is, what is the country gonna do moving forward in January when the new Congress come into office? You know, because I had to laugh when Mitch McConnell said something in regards to let's be coming, you know what I mean, bipartisan. That was the biggest joke I ever heard in my life. Someone who don't even believe in being bipartisan, who, you know, basically over the last, I would say, 4 years, has done his thing in regards to being bipartisan. Now once, you know, old Nancy come in and the rest of them, he wants to talk about let's being bipartisan. Because, you know, he knows, in all truthfulness, that Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are nothing more than buddies and co-conspirators with 45. You know, they are all buddies. So, you know, I'm just wondering, are the American people going to be bamboozled again by these devilish, trifling individuals who ran the government?
They're devilish, maybe, but they're certainly not trifling. They have sophisticated plans. The question, Jay, is what is your plan? What is my plan? What is our plan? That's the question. Have we lost Jay? Okay, we might have lost him. But, you know, that is the question. It's not about what people are planning. You should, that is from where you start. You should assume these are the things that they're planning. Whatever it is, it comes down to, what are you planning? That's my constant complaint. Don't tell me what they're planning to do. We should be able to forecast into another century what people are planning to do. But we spend little or no time discussing what we're planning to do. That's the problem. Cece from New Jersey, you're on the air.
How are you, sleeping
good
beauty?
Yes, indeed. You know, that's what I recommend. If everybody in the country decided, you know what, we're just going to devote the day to sleeping and resting.
Sleeping. Very good, very good. Well,
you treat,
I have to tell you that this show is like fine wine. This program just gets better and better and better, and you just keep delivering more and more and more. And your music, you know, has been rolling my socks up and down over the years. Some of the music that you attract. I don't know. I have to ask you another time. Where are you getting all of this from? I'll ask you right now.
Well, actually, all of my life, I've been just mesmerized by jazz, and I'll tell you why. My father owned a movie theater when I was growing up in Trinidad, and one of the movies that I slipped in to see was something called, well, they did it as a series, America by Night, and then World by Night. They did a whole series of things of entertainment in different parts of the world at night. And when I saw America by Night, and it was loaded with jazz, I was captivated. But the real thing was Cinderfella, a movie with starring Jerry Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry Lewis goes to the ball, and he's, you know, all gussied up and everything. And there is this long staircase leading down into where the ball was. And there was the Count Basie orchestra. I couldn't get over that. I just couldn't get over that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah,
and that's,
sure.
That started my obsession with jazz. I loved it.
Awesome. Awesome. I have to say, I didn't start off by saying that I'm thankful and most appreciative and grateful for your contribution over the PRN network. And I'm also thankful for the Lead Stories Leaders. That's LEADERS. And I'm taking a page out of Michael Jackson. You know, he was the self-proclaimed king of pop. And I'm going to be the self-proclaimed initiator of the UCL Lovebirds group.
And what would this group be doing?
Sharing and giving back love, exchanging the love that you're giving to us that we need to, you know, giving. Is key here. We've got to do a little more giving than we are giving. We're receiving a lot, which is wonderful, but we've got to do some giving is what I'm getting with the giving of thanks day. So this came over, you know, in reference to that. I'll be mentioning it on occasion, and that's, of course, the UCL is Utrecht. I don't know what the C means, but
Claudine.
What is it?
It's Claudine.
Oh, Claudine. Oh, my goodness. That's
yes,
so
after
powerful.
My father,
oh,
my. Claude.
Wow, Claudine. Oh, my goodness. Is it spelled the traditional, the conventional way, Claudine?
No. No, it's spelled C-L-A-U-D-E-A-N.
Of course. Well, I'll have to tell you, you know, it's interesting. This program is just so amazing because I was thinking about Jeff. And, of course, I'm going to have a theme, and I think the theme... when you ask Jay, you know, what are we going to do? What is Jay going to do? What am I going to do? What are all the lead story leaders going to do? And I'd like to see us once a month show on what are we going to do or what are we doing? Because that is what's next with all this power that tunes in 1 to 2 o'clock. We've got to take this and convert it because it's so amazing. So Jeff has been bringing up the religion, religious organizations, the churches, and then, here's Henry from Chicago comes on with a church piece. And I say, wonderful. And, oh, incidentally, you mentioned, you know, hell. The Pope, did you hear that the Pope said there's no hell? Did you hear that? Pope Francis?
You know, I tuned out. I'm tuned out of the Vatican for the moment.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a piece to turn back in on. He said there's no hell. Now, that's a big step in his position.
I saw that. I saw that there was a lot made of the statement.
Sure. Yeah, there would be. That's a game changer for sure. Okay. You know, he might not just be riding in... the Fiat, the little Italian car, he might have to be selling them, you know, for a living. But I'm just going to say that, you know, it's amazing. And then Harvey comes on because, you know, I'm a student of Lloyd Strayhorn with numbers for a few decades. And so Harvey comes on with these numbers and this fractal concept. And I just love it. I mean, that's amazing. And then he mentioned that there is a, you know, esoteric or, you know, a healing factor. And I have to say, I'm going to connect the dots right quick, that the U in Utrecht is the 21st letter, and 2 plus 1 is 3. And then the C is the third letter. That's another 3. That's 24. And then the L is the 12th letter. That becomes 36. So they're all 3s, which has your energy so powerful for this art and work and science that you're sharing with us and taking us to another level. I just want to move right quickly into your question about Barack Obama and Nancy Pelosi. You know, we've been hearing which you were sharing with Jay, we've been hearing about how the trumpeter is saying, I'm going to support Nancy Pelosi. You know, I'll get her some votes and so forth. Now, isn't that amazing? And does that tie into what you were just sharing with Jay? Talking about collusion.
Talk about crazy. You're right.
I'm telling you. Yes. That's amazing.
Donald Trump so adores Nancy. He's volunteering to get her some help. Anything he can do to get her elected. Good Lord.
Yes. That's a down payment on reversing the I word, possibly.
The I word?
Yeah, impeachment.
What's the I word?
Impeachment. Is it I or E? Oh. I don't know.
I thought the I word was idiot.
Idiot.
He's an idiot. It's an idiot.
Yeah, that's good. That's better. Yeah. So I mean, you know, so many wonderful things. Yeah, and listen, did we touch yet? I'm waiting for the show to let us know about Nikki Haley, you know, what her situation is, why she has been pulled out of the UN. Do we know yet? I got an idea.
No,
I have an idea.
She left. The undercurrent is that she is being besieged by debt. And the gig isn't paying as much money, and she has not yet been let into the circles where, you know, with a few connections, she can get a lot of, you know, extra money. So supposedly, the thing is to find her a job now. This is the assignment being given to the Trump administration. Find her something else to do that would pay her, because she's got way too much debt. And obviously she is, you know, ambitious. She's probably looking at something else in the way of politics. So that's what her ultimatum is. Get me something that make me money.
Quickly, before I get off, I want to just tell you what I receive intuitively. I think, because they could arrange all kinds of instruments and, you know, situations, investments where she could have a yield. I think he's got a little issue with Mike Pence, and I think she's going to run as a hopeful vice president. So that's my take. We'll see what happens. But I think there's a little miss. You know, you got a money issue. We like you there. We can create something. We can make you a millionaire. You know, I mean, it's not a problem. So that's my take. So that's, you know. But listen, keep up the great work. You know, this is, we love you. And of course, I'm the self-proclaimed president of the Lovebirds, so I can say, you know, that I can say what I want to say. You know, so
Thank you so much. And it should be known, I must make it known, how much I cherish and love this audience. I really do. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Thanks so much. Khalil from South Carolina, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. I told people what I was intending to do, which is how I, in recent years, how I celebrate Thanksgiving. I sleep all day.
I heard that, and I'm totally with you, and I'm totally with what Harvey said, and I think a lot of folks, because we all get caught up in the rat race, you know, some of us with the work grind, and we're forced to go to work sick and not feeling, you know, sleep. Honestly, you sound so strong today. That's what, when you feel a nap coming on, don't fight it. Don't fight
sleep. No. It's very, very important. Your body tells you when you ought to just drop everything else and sleep.
I totally believe that. I told you know, and I have, this has kind of nothing to do with it, maybe, but, you know, I have a number of West Indians in my family, and people from the West Indies, from my experience, you know, they tend to eat fresh fruits and vegetables. You know, they go out of their way to get fresh. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that you get to a point, when you come to terms with your body may tell you, I need to eat more vegetables. I need to eat this. I need to eat that. And people who know what I'm talking about. If you really get in tune with your body will tell you what you need to eat. But, you know, your body does have, some people claim your body has the capacity to heal itself if you give it the right fuel. I think that's what Gary Null tries to say, what does say. You know, and it might be something to that. Because if we think about it, food is a drug. A drug is something that can change your body. And
yes, indeed.
But yeah, this is, the energy today is amazing. Oh my goodness.
Or is it?
But
you know, this is a thing that I've been doing for years. I used to go to my friends' homes and cook for Thanksgiving. I love to cook. And then I decided, you know what? Especially since being diagnosed with cancer, I decided I would kind of flip things around. I will still do that, you know, have cooking sessions with friends and so forth. But mostly I like the idea of just sleeping, just resting. I don't watch television because I gave away my TVs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't watch TV. I don't have a radio. So there's no noise going on. I just go someplace quiet and meditate a little bit and then sleep for as much as I can for the day.
It's a good thing. That's all I can say. It's a great thing to succumb to sleep. We have to listen to our bodies. I love what you're saying, and I will say this also. The energy Harvey is on to something, and I really believe that. I'm familiar with what he's talking about, and that would warrant some research into the Fibonacci equation, or it's Fibonacci. But there's something to there's really, when you look at that, it's almost like an acid trip without doing the acid, and it's very calming and it's natural, and it feels good. Yeah,
I'm going to try and find out what the fractal, the new fractal wave is all about. So I'm going to go take a look.
It's something to it. And I would like to put my mind about, I would encourage everyone to start a garden, even if it's an herb plant in the windowsill. Because if you have children, it's great because you can teach them about science and biology. And if you don't, it's okay. You have something that you can consume that you know it's pure. And folks who already grow things know what I'm talking about. But some people are scared of dirt and they just don't get it. But it's a survival thing. We should all know how to grow food. And herbs are a great way to start. Weeds grow easily. That's why they're weeds. They kind of grow. And that's a good way to start. So start with basil maybe, or mint. When you get serious, you can move on to some harder things. But all I'm saying is that it comes into handy when you're cooking food and then you have produce to give people and it's healthy. And it's a good thing, and it's a communal thing. And community is important. Community is very important. I mean, it just is. And, one, you sound wonderful, and it's great. Everyone, it's energy today is just amazing.
It didn't even register on me that I'm sounding particularly energetic today. But I take it. I take your observation. And I'll probably attribute it to sleeping all day yesterday. So that's probably the evidence of it right there.
Well, it came through you, Therese, and I rarely hear you mention certain things, and you mentioned it today, and I hope you're doing well, with that.
Thank you. Yes, I'm trying to keep going. Thanks so much for your good and kind thoughts. Well, that brings us to the end of our program today. Look, just trust that you already are equipped to do what it is you need to do. You're equipped. You may have to polish up this, or you may have to tweak that. You may have to find out some more information. But essentially, we have everything we need to do what we have to do. And we should trust that, like I said to Henry from Chicago, as you deal with things in life, very complex issues that to you and to me and to others, they seem so insurmountable. But we have everything we need to analyze it and look at it and come up with a solution or come up with an understanding. That's the whole key, to try and understand what it is we're looking at so that we can formulate a way to navigate through it or around it or over it, and we can go on with our lives. Right now, we could probably make plans for people in the next century. The century after that. That's how equipped we are. But if we don't activate that part of ourselves, which we have available to us. We just are never encouraged to use it. But it can help so much to get us over the hump. Thanks again. Have yourselves a great weekend. Surround yourselves with people who bring positive dimension to your life. And we'll see each other Monday. Bye-bye.